Glad you're here with us. If you are a student, thank you for being here. I stumbled into this church as a sophomore at ECU, and that decision, whether I knew it or not, radically changed my life. And so if you're sitting at home and you're checking this out for the first time, or in your dorm room, or you've made it here, let me just encourage you, find a local church and find a campus ministry. There's a great one here called ENC. Devon Patterson and his team do a phenomenal job. Get plugged in there. They're going to be faithful and diligent to raise you up as a leader and as a servant of Jesus. So check that out. We love them. We love ECU. We're so glad you guys are back in town, traffic and all. It's a blessing from the Lord. So as you might be able to tell, we're kind of coming to the end of our social distancing capacity. And we are looking at launching our kids ministry back up. We're going to give the public schools about a month to see how they're doing before we do that. But we'll make some announcements about that, about GCF Kids launching back up next week. We'll make an announcement about that. But just wanted to give you a heads up. So we're going to need volunteers. We're going to need people serving here. What we'd like to do is to spread that love around. Instead of 20% of the people doing 80% of the work, we'd like 80% of the people doing 20% of the work, right? We'd like to spread that out a little bit. I don't even think that math works out, but you know what I mean. But there's a way to do that. I don't know if we've got that slide, but go to gcfchurch.org/ways-to-serve, or you can look at our app as well and sign up for that. Let us know that you're willing to serve. You can jump on there and do that. So let me pray as we jump into part four of Godless Christianity. Father, thank you this morning for your grace, your goodness. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, realize our desperate need for you in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Godless Christianity, why are we doing this series? Basically this, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we as the people of God, especially in the West, tend to forget that God is Spirit. And so we started the series talking about who Jesus, who the Holy Spirit was, how he interacts with us, how to walk and keep in step with him. And this morning, I want to look at the gifts of the Spirit. We're doing this to awaken our hearts and minds to the desperate need of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. You see, I don't know if you've ever come to this point in your life where you've realized, I need help. I might be looking in the mirror and seeing all the tendencies and the issues of my soul and my heart. I may be finding myself in a place I never thought I'd be. Or you might be passionately serving Jesus and beginning to see through the veneer of the world and seeing what God might be asking you to do. There's some big things God's asking the Big C Church to do, to engage our nation, to engage the nations of the world with the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, a good production and great content don't change the heart of people. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's through almost two decades of campus ministry that I realized this. Jesus has to change the heart, and he changes it by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, there are now staff in this room who, man, with my best gospel presentation, my best communication about what Jesus has done for them, and they walk away maybe getting a little bit more understanding about the ministry of Jesus, but it was the power of the Holy Spirit to fall on them, to touch their heart. Phone calls in the night. What did you do to me? The power of the Holy Spirit is burning inside of me. They didn't say it that way. They just said, my heart's on fire. Because God is stirring in me. It was the Spirit awakening what's inside of us to know who God is. And wooing us after. We need him. I'm going to tell you right now, my best day preaching doesn't change the heart of people. My best day. And I know BJ is a magician, and he will take our production to the next level, but it doesn't change the heart. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that has to do that. So we're looking this morning. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which we're going to read a section. Basically, the bulk of the text is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. I'm not going to read all of that just for time, but we are going to delve in that. But that's Paul's teaching to the Corinthian church about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So let's jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. It says this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." One scripture says ignorant. Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthian church in response to a letter they wrote to him. And they listed a number of things they wanted him to address. One of those was marriage. One of those was communion. One of those was, can we eat food sacrificed to other gods? And they asked him about this specific question, spiritual gifts, because in this context, and we're going to kind of dig in and out of this, but spiritual gifts began to be a problem, began to be an issue. There was an overemphasis, more than likely, scholars think, on the gift of tongues, that people were elevating themselves to say, hey, we're more spiritual than other people because we do a certain gift. And Paul's speaking into that. And he picks up in verse 2 and he says, "You know that when you were pagans, that you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." There were some confusion that maybe people were saying, how do we know this is God? How do we know it's not something else? And Paul says, it's pretty clear when we talk about Jesus, if Jesus is Lord, it's from the Spirit. And if someone says Jesus is accursed, we know that's not in the Spirit of God. So he's trying to say, look, there's a delineation. Once you serve mute idols, now you serve a God who speaks. Verse 4, he says, "Now there were varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone." Interesting here that Paul is making a reference to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, look, you even serve a diverse God who works in all of you. "Now to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." Overcoming our ignorance of spiritual gifts. This is what we see first in 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit distributes different spiritual presence, but they all serve one ultimate point, the testimony of Jesus. If the power of the Holy Spirit does not eventually bring us through other individuals to Jesus, that He's Lord, either minimally we're misusing the gifts of the Spirit, and to the other extreme, we're missing the Spirit altogether. Because the Holy Spirit has one job, to bear witness about Jesus. The goal of the Spirit speaking through any individual is that Jesus would be glorified. The goal of the Holy Spirit flowing through another individual for healing or miracles or a prophetic word is so that we might see Jesus and what He's done. And if we miss the power, the point of the power of the Holy Spirit is not, if we miss that it's about Christ, we've missed the whole point. In fact, John 15, 26 says, "But when the Helper, the Parakletos in Greek, comes," that's my southern pronunciation, "whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, will bear witness about me." Now, I grew up playing sports. I don't know if you knew this, but I can be competitive. In fact, I don't play as much because my competitiveness comes out. And in fact, we played a kickball game recently with my son's Little League team, and I hadn't played anything competitive in a few months, and so I was excited, you know. I made sure I was warm, I stretched, you know. I know the other adults were thinking, does this guy have a life? No. I wanted to compete. But it's funny, in the game of kickball, there's one coveted position. You know what it is? The pitcher, man. Everybody wants to be the pitcher. And if you're not the pitcher, you've got 13 other people out in the outfield just stupid kickball. He can't even throw strikes. I mean, how do you not throw strikes in kickball, right? And so you're upset. And this is what Paul's dealing with, is that God by the Spirit is distributing gifts. But if we don't get our gift, we don't want to play. There were literally kids in the ground playing in the dirt, balls going right over their head. Like, that was your moment. Like, you had one play today and you missed it. You were in the dirt, not even paying attention. And that's what we do. If we don't get to have that gift or we don't get to be on this stage, we think that our contribution isn't important. You know what's funny? Is if the ministries in this church that aren't on this stage weren't empowered in this church over the last 4 or 5 months, anything happens on this stage wouldn't happen. I'd be talking to myself. See, we all bring something to the table. And let's say, well, that's not a spiritual gift, but it can have Spirit-empowered elements to it. There's something about operating in a camera or in that booth back there that you can be led by the Spirit. God speaks. You can be breathing new ideas into what we're doing in this room. You can be parking cars and ministering encouragement as you do it. Spirit-empowered encouragement. You might be communicating just what that person needs to hear that morning as they walk into this room to experience the presence of God and to worship. See, we want that gift. We want that gift. But God's saying, man, I distribute how I will. And I want you to be empowered with this. And it all is a part of the body. See, the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual presence, but they all serve an ultimate point, the testimony of Jesus. And so, growing up playing sports, my conversation, in fact, even the seasons of the year, there weren't like fall, summer, spring. There were football season, right? Basketball season, baseball season. That was how we, and if you hit me in that season, that's what I'd be talking about. But see, here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. When He's flowing and moving, it's always the season of Jesus. Anytime you're talking and hearing from the Holy Spirit, He's talking about Jesus. He's ultimately bringing us back to who Jesus is and what He's done and what He wants to do in the earth. That's His obsession. The second thing we see in these three chapters of 1 Corinthians is that the motivational pressure for spiritual gifts should be love. It shouldn't be my show. It isn't about me getting my name out there. It isn't about you finally getting recognized. It's about love. In fact, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, y'all know this chapter, right? If you're familiar, if you're not even familiar with the Bible, you know the definition of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not. Where is that? That's 1 Corinthians 13. Did you know that the chapter of love that we read at weddings out loud, that we talk about and teach on love, is smack dab in the middle of a teaching on the spiritual gifts? It infuses spiritual gifts, is love. Paul introduces spiritual gifts and tells us why we're all a part of the body. You can't be the ear and be upset at the hand. You can't be upset that I'm not the hand and be less the ear. We're all a part of the body, bringing something to the table, having a part to play, having a role to play. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is setting in order how the gifts should operate. And then right there in the middle, 1 Corinthians 13, he's saying, but it's got to be powered by love. The pressure in us must be love. Have you ever been to a wedding and these moments where you're supposed to like do a toast or recount a memory? Y'all know these moments, you know? And there's this awkward moment inside of me where I have this battle. Do I say anything or not? Do y'all feel that sometimes? See, there's two mistakes we can make in that moment. We can say too much, or we can say nothing at all, right? And I tend to usually fall in both of those ditches, right? I usually will look at Michelle, I'm like, did I say too much? She goes, yes, you said too much. I'm like, you get it. And I'll be at this moment, she's looking at me like, do not grab that mic. I'm like, I just feel like I've got to like say something. No one's going up and something needs to be said. But here's the thing. When our motivation is love, we don't say too much. When our motivation is love, we don't stay silent either. Because I begin to think about myself. If I'm in their shoes, I want someone to remember. I want someone to speak into the moment. I want someone to recall a memory and it brings us together again. But in my shyness or my insecurity or my fear that I might say too much, I might not say anything. And some of us are too quick to grab the mic because we won't know everyone that we're here. And both miss the point. Both fall in the ditches, but love, if love is our motivation, then when we walk in spiritual gifts, we'll pray for the sick. We'll lay hands on the sick because then it's not about us. Well, what if nothing happens? Then they're still sick. Nothing changed. That's okay, right? But what if something happens? What if the Holy Spirit flows through you to heal? What if you take a step and say something wrong? It's okay. If the motivation is love, there's grace. And here's the point. The motivational pressure for spiritual gifts should be love. Some of us might be too quick to speak. God might be speaking to you. God might be revealing something to your heart, but it might be for you to pray. There might be a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge that God might be putting in your spirit to pray for someone else, and we're quick to speak. We step back and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this information that I feel like you're saying? And we pray that. And then if we say, man, I really feel like I'm supposed to say this, then we say it with humility. I feel like the Lord might be telling me to tell you this. God loves you. And I really needed to hear that today. It was maybe a word out of this scripture, but it was a word infused with the gift of prophecy in the right moment at the right time. When love is the motivation, it pushes us out of our insecurity, pushes us out of our isolation to take a risk when maybe we would be quiet. The next thing we see in 1 Corinthians, here in chapter 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit partners with us in proper order and knowing in part. The Holy Spirit partners with us proper order and knowing in part. What does that mean? That means this. I don't know why this is, but God wants to use you. And he wants to use me. And I could find some people that are better equipped than us. Why does God, by the Spirit, want to partner with you? Because he wants you in the game of what he's doing. God is doing something in the earth right now, and you'd have to be blind to see it, not to see it. But God is doing something, and he wants to woo us into the game for his purpose. He wants to draw us out of our apathy, out of our complacency. And what he wants to do is give us spiritual gifts so that we might be a part of changing hearts and lives and communities and cities. He's partnering with us. He's not doing it by himself. And nor God knows we're not doing it by ourselves. We've done enough. But he's joining with us by the Spirit to do something in your life, in my life, in marriages, in families, on campuses, in classrooms, in residence halls, and he's partnering with us. Well, that can be messy. Do you know who you are? I'm not perfect. And God knows you aren't either. But he wants to partner with you anyway. I don't know why. He wants to fall on you and speak to you and give you gifts of the Spirit to touch lives and hearts. You know what? You're going to make some mistakes, and so am I. Because here's the deal. When the Holy Spirit comes on us, he doesn't control us. He partners with us. He speaks to us. He gives us impulse. Here we see this in 1 Corinthians 13, 12. It says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, then I will know fully, even as I've been fully known." Paul is saying this, look, I don't see everything clearly and neither do you. We're going to make some mistakes here. But we have to have the humility to say, this might be off, but this is what I feel like God is speaking. We know in part and we prophesy in part. That's why community is so important. I could go over here to Zach and say, Zach, man, I've been praying and I've been sensing this. What do you think? James or Beatty, I've been feeling like God's saying this. What do you think? Because I know in part and I prophesy in part. What do you think God might be saying here? Yeah, that's exactly what God's saying. And then we move together because we know in part and we prophesy in part. In 1 Corinthians 14, 32, it says, "The spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. But all things should be done decently and in order." See, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, when the Holy Spirit moves through us, it's not uncontrollable. It's not outside of your will. It's not like God picks you up and dances you around in the grocery store. No, God speaks to you. He gives you an impulse, and you can control that. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, which means if God's laying on something on your heart, you don't have to say it right then. You can sit on it. You could pray about it. You could ask a friend about it because it needs to be done orderly. Not under compulsion. God's not a God of confusion, but of peace. But God is a God of power. And he is a God of partnership. He is a God that wants to speak to you and speak through you and minister through you to the body here and to the world out there. Did you know the power of the Holy Spirit is for the common good? That you might be encouraged, that there might be a word to break you free, that there might be a word that opens the eyes of one of your friends who doesn't know Christ? Jesus did this all the time. The woman at the well comes up to Jesus and Jesus says, "Go get your husband." She goes, "I don't have a husband." What does Jesus say? "You're right. You've had five husbands and the man you're living with is not your husband." Whoa, you got my attention. You must be a prophet, right? And Jesus is speaking to her and wooing her, and then she goes and tells the whole city. What does she tell them? "Come see a man who told me everything I've ever known." See, the prophetic word was to arrest her heart to bring everyone to Jesus. It was about him. These are moments that God wants to use all of us to do. Final point this morning, our steadfast posture for spiritual gifts is to eagerly desire them. We've got some tools in my house, gifts even. I've given my kids. I'll give you some examples. A slingshot, I don't know. I don't know why. It just seemed like in that moment, my son would enjoy this, you know, and he did. But I think that slingshot was on the top of my fridge for months, maybe even years. We lost it, but it was still there. See, when we give gifts, when I give gifts that aren't used correctly, I take them back. Give me that. Just put it on the fridge. The kids know if they can't find anything, it's probably on the fridge, you know. Slingshots, pocket knives, iPads, just anything that shouldn't be used that way. If you use it that way, it gets snatched away. And I put it away. And this church, 1 Corinthians, was using and misusing and abusing spiritual gifts. they were screwing up big time. Disorderly. They weren't even a good moral church. And my tendency would be, give me those gifts, right? On the fridge. But you know what? Paul's and God's heart for this church was? He says, I'm not going to take away the gifts. In fact, I want your posture to the gifts to be this. 1 Corinthians 12, 31, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Chapter 14, verse 12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in the building up of the church. See, here's what God does. He doesn't take away our gifts. He corrects our use. Stop doing it. Don't use it that way. Let me help you understand what you have. And now eagerly desire spiritual gifts. I'm not going to take them away. In fact, I want your posture towards spiritual gifts to lean into them. In fact, the word in the Greek is zelou, is where we get the word zealous or zealot. Are you zealous for spiritual gifts? Are you zealous that God would empower you to be a witness for Him? Is your posture towards spiritual gifts like this? If He'll give it to me, I'll take it. I mean, you could say they're zealous. I might even say it defines them. They're a zealot for what they want. And what is our posture to the gifts of the Spirit? Is it this, God? Or is it this? If He wanted me to have it, He'd give it to me. Like He's going to chase us down and tackle us with a gift. You will take this gift. No, I won't, you know. Here's the reality. We live in a hurting world that needs supernatural power. It needs it. And I can be the guy at the wedding who won't say anything because I might make a mistake. Or I can see that the need requires me to step in and believe God, to step out of my comfort zone, to believe God to do something powerful. And the church has a mission. And I'm going to tell you, nations rise and fall. Parties rise and fall. But you know what will never fall? It's the Church of Jesus. In fact, any nation, any government that has tried to squelch it, that has had to push on it, try to persecute it, it's only flourished. It's only grown faster and stronger. Jesus said, and Matthew, it says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It's going to take a supernatural God with supernatural power and supernatural gifts to speak into supernatural pain. I'm going to tell you, I've this week been on phone calls, Zoom calls, and face-to-face chats, and I'm going to tell you, we need God with power. A little 30-second A 30-minute conversation is not going to change. We need Holy Spirit to come in and awaken the heart, break off bondages, break off strongholds, open blind eyes, move us out of our apathy. It's going to take God, the Spirit. And look, I love excellence and I love all the things that we're trying to do to make the gospel relevant to where people are. And we should do that. And we've got a lot of work to do. But if the power of the Holy Spirit isn't here, then we're not presenting the gospel of this Bible. Because every time I follow it throughout history, it's with power. Anytime we try to clean it up and make it all sophisticated, the Holy Spirit just finds another place. Because it's messy. I mean, you read this? This is messy. We need God to move. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we as a church will not back away or retreat in our posture to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. We need you to move. We need you to awaken our hearts. We need you to pour out your Spirit on us and give us gifts, miracles, and gifts of healing, and messages and words of wisdom, and messages and words of knowledge, and prophecy, and tongues, and interpretation of tongues, and the power of God. Just right where you are, if you're at home, just lift your hands to the Lord. If you're in here and you feel comfortable, lift your hands to the Lord and just ask him, Lord, we need more of your Holy Spirit. I'm open to the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, if you have something for me, I want it. I don't want it, I need it. Help us not to buy into this godless Christianity that has a form of godliness but denies his power. That comes into a room and has all the right things to say but devoid of power. We want to be your people. Filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in your gifts and manifesting the fruit of a people that walk with God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you knew GCF, or maybe you're not quite sure about what I'm talking about this morning, that's okay. My encouragement to you is I want you to go and dig into these scriptures. Don't take my word for it. As I said before, I see through a mirror dimly. And I want to make sure everything I'm saying lines up with this holy book, this holy word of God, the gospel of Jesus. I am constrained by it. Don't just take my word for it, but lean into the scriptures this morning. Throughout this week, okay? Thank you for joining us online. Grateful that you took the time to plug in. We'll see you next week. If you're not a part of a campus ministry, check out ENC. You can follow them on the social media platforms. They would love for you to check them out and get to know you. We'll see you next week.